In its quest to provide an open forum for discussion of controversial issues, this station allows hosts and their guests to express themselves without any significant censorship. You're advised that any views expressed by the hosts or their guests are not necessarily the views of Tug Entertainment or its partners.
Welcome to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com. And hosted by editor-in-chief of Officer.com and 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Officer Radio is your source for the latest news, trends, and issues facing the law enforcement community. Join us each week as Officer Borelli and his guest examine, dissect, and discuss the issues facing our industry. Call in live and join the conversation to get your voice heard. Now, let's get to it. It's Officer Radio, live with Frank Borelli on Officer.com.
Good day, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you might be listening. Welcome to Officer Radio, brought to you by Officer.com. I'm your host, editor for Officer.com, Frank Borelli. I'd like to offer special thanks today to LE Gear for sponsoring our show. They provide gear that makes life easier and helps get the job done. Please visit them at legear.com. Today on the show, we'll be talking about quite a few topics. Got a nice lineup for you. I think we're going to start out with some thoughts about the differences between a protester and a rioter. The Occupy Wall Street movement is still all over the news, occupiers in different cities doing different things. I really don't get it. I don't understand why if you're part of the Occupy Wall Street movement, you'd be protesting in every other city in the country except New York. But there is a distinct difference between somebody who protests, somebody who demonstrates, and somebody who riots. And some of these quote-unquote Occupy protesters aren't. They're rioters. They're committing crimes. They're looting, causing destruction, committing acts of violence, vandalism. So we're going to talk about that. Then we'll move on to honoring the fallen. In 2011, we lost 177 officers in the line of duty. In 2012, so far, we've already lost 18, and one of them just fell today, one yesterday. We'll take a look at the circumstances as we know them and discuss some of the ways we can avoid being added to that number. That will take us into a conversation about Police Week and some events and training that will be occurring in D.C. that week in May. And finally, we'll end up discussing Valentine's Day. It's only 5 days away. For those of you all getting ready to go into panic mode, here's your alert. It's not a two-minute warning. It's a five-day warning. Valentine's Day is coming up. It's the 14th. Start figuring out what you're going to do for your significant other now. But we're going to talk about Valentine's Day. Some of the challenges we law enforcement professionals end up facing on such days. Valentine's Day, anniversaries, and our significant other's birthday. A lot of times the job gets in the way. So we're going to talk about how we deal with that, different options, and maybe a few ways we can still make our significant other feel like they're significant in our day, even on those days when things are screwed up. Throughout the show, we'll be taking calls from our listeners, our shy and hiding listeners. The number to dial is 866-404-6519. That's 866-404-6519. If you have a comment, question, observation, or other thought to share, please don't hesitate to dial me up. If for any reason you're uncomfortable calling, feel free to send me an email. The email address is frankborelli@officer.com. No dits, dots, dashes, or spaces. All one word, frankborelli@officer.com. Please call or send me an email. And, you know, I just was thinking, okay, can I do that phonetically? And there's still a difference. We talked about this in a communication show between the military phonetics and the police phonetics. So bear with me. I'm going to do both. The agency that I would work for, and this is kind of funny, those letters, frankborelli, would be Frank Robert Adam, Nora King, Baker Ocean Robert, Edward Lincoln Lincoln Ida. That's not that hard. Now let me see if I can do this in the military side. Foxtrot Romeo Alpha, November Kilo, Bravo Ocean. Is O Ocean in the military? I think. Romeo Echo, Lima Lima, India. O is Oscar. Thank you to my producer for doing that. Oscar. So I screwed it up. 1 out of 12. Okay. I might have failed the test. Okay. Today's show, like all of them, will be archived on Officer.com radio page as well as our podcast page. You know, if I have to tell you how to find those pages, then I'm worried about how you're listening to me anyway. You're on the radio page if you're listening now. The podcast link is right next to the word radio on that blue navigation bar at the top of your page. You might want to bookmark the page. Some of our future shows are going to focus on training issues. It might serve as good reference material. Certainly some of our older shows have. The archive shows are also available on iTunes, so you can search us out there to download them. Now, here's the secret. You come here to this page first, the podcast page or the radio page. You find the topic that matches the date, because when you go to iTunes, all you're going to see is the date. You're not going to see the topic material. So you've got to know which date you're looking for before you go to iTunes. Come on here and get it first, or simply download the podcast here. It's just as easy. Click on the right-click on the link, download it, save it to your computer. All right, so getting all that out of the way, let's get on with the show. Now, earlier I started talking about the Occupy Wall Street movement, the difference between a protester, demonstrator, and a rioter. We're going to get into this in detail. Oh, with our guest, I forgot to completely mention that we have a guest. He's been here before, Mr. Steve Forgis, Officer Steve Forgis. He's a police officer and a fireman and a web guru and a handyman, too. I think he started doing repairs and installing wood stoves and stuff. I don't think he sleeps. I think his challenge on Valentine's Day is going to be holding still long enough to give his wife a hug. But he's going to be joining us in a little bit. And we're going to talk in a little bit more detail about the differences between a protester, a demonstrator, or a rioter. I pulled what am I trying to say? I can't think of the word. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Definitions. There you go. Off of dictionary.com. I pulled some definitions off so we can go through those and look at them. But here's my concern. Number one, anytime you have a big group of people, protesters, rioters, whatever you want to call them, when you have a big group of people, you have police officers outnumbered if the police officers have to go there to deal with any kind of call for service. When the protesters are peaceable, now let me define this for you, when they've gotten a permit, when they've selected a venue, when they've specified times, and there's actually somebody organizing it and controlling it and responsible for it to make sure that those times, to some extent, are obeyed, if you will. That's a protest. That's a peaceable protest. That's something protected by the First Amendment of our Constitution. It allows us to voice our dissent, our unhappiness with something that's being done. Get that? I've worn a uniform to protect our rights, all of our rights, to be able to do that. And what's worse, I've worn a uniform to defend the rights of people to say stuff that I completely disagree with. When I see somebody burn an American flag, I'd like to light into them. I'd like to just wear them out and beat them to the ground. To be honest with you, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But I won't. I wore a uniform for too many years protecting their rights. I don't have to agree with what they're doing or what they have to say. My job was to defend their right to say it. That's a difficult thing for us to deal with because we law enforcement professionals are human first. We're not professionals first. We're human first. There's no way to change that. Nobody ever can. We'd love to. Administrators would love to. RoboCop was a great idea, but even he had emotions. Our challenge is not letting our emotions overtake our job. Now, when you take a cop or five and you put them in a crowd of 1,000 and something ugly happens, not only do emotions reign, but then some of those emotions cause us issues. I'm not going to lie. I've been in some scary situations. Cops don't like to admit fear, but if you're one of five in a crowd of 1,000 and the crowd's getting disorderly, you're going to be scared. You have to deal with the fear. You have to deal with the situation. You have to figure out strategy and tactics. You have to do whatever you have to do to be able to go home alive to your family at the end of the day. It can get ugly. These Occupy folks, occupiers, some of them, I don't doubt, are legitimate protesters. They just have a grievance. They're upset that all those greedy people on Wall Street have money and aren't sharing it. So the greedy protesters want some of it. I think it's kind of ironic and silly. I'm not part of the Occupy movement, but so be it. They have their First Amendment right to protest. What they don't have a First Amendment right to do is go to the bathroom in public, defecate on government-owned vehicles. They don't have a right to spray paint graffiti. They don't have a right to occupy places where there are no trespassing signs up and spend the night for weeks. They don't have the right to drop litter That's called littering. They should be fined for that at a bare minimum. These are all things that, when you look at the definitions, perhaps fall under the guidelines more of being rioters than protesters or demonstrators. And I find it curious that the police officers are being held in restraint. We do riot control work, folks. We do crowd control work. When we're given a lawful order to clear an area, you know, that's what we do. I don't know why anything different would happen. But we're not. We're sitting around, literally on our hands, watching these quote-unquote protesters act like animals and not do anything about it. Some of them, and again, I understand that it may be the minority that's doing that in this group, but they're being empowered to do it by the large part of the group. We have to figure out how to deal with it. It's not going away. Until the economy improves and everybody's happy, which, guess what, it's not going to happen anytime soon, we got to figure out how to deal with it. We have to figure out how to deal with it in a fashion that allows us to go home alive every night and not be on the mainstream media news in front of a camera. So we're going to talk about all that with Officer Ford just when we get back. Now that I have my technical issues resolved and I'm getting my time warnings from my producer, I'm a little bit better off. I was confused there for a moment, but I'm good now. It's not hard to confuse me. I'm old, graying, balding. It's ugly, but confusion's easy when you reach a certain point. Unfortunately, then, we're going to talk about the 18 officers that have already died this year in the line of duty. We're going to talk about how, where, some of the things that have happened, some of the statistics around it, things like that. We're going to talk about Police Week. The Candlelight Vigil, the Memorial Service, Officer World, training going on, Valentine's Day. So that's all going to happen after our break. Remember that you can call me, 866-404-6519. Do that before or after the break. Our show producer will get you on hold and able to hang on to me. We'll be back with Mr. Forges. Get yourself something to drink, whatever. Listen to the break, though. That's important. And we'll talk to you in just a few seconds.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. In May of 2011, a small brown-eyed boy proudly showed off the law enforcement buttons he had pinned to his shirt in honor of his dad, an officer killed in the line of duty 6 years ago. Then the reality set in. This boy was just a few days away from his sixth birthday. He never got the chance to meet his dad, nor did thousands of children whose parents' names are forever etched into the living memorial in Judiciary Square. Join us in 2012 as we launch Officer World Expo in Washington, D.C. in our effort to reduce the intolerably large number of officers who didn't get to go home to their families. OfficerWorldExpo.com, because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Evermore, people have the means to live, but no meaning to live for. These are the words of Dr. Viktor Frankl, the inspiration for the movie Viktor and I. That's V-I-K-T-O-R and I, movie.com. And Talk Sense Radio, The Meaning Connection, with host Mary Simaluka and frequent contributor Alexander Vesely. Friday afternoons at 3, 2 Central on toginet.com. More and more people today are discarding their quest for money, possessions, and things, and are instead beginning a serious quest to find meaning in life. Until now, these discussions were historically in the hands of priests, ministers, and scribes, then to philosophers, psychiatrists, and psychologists. Now, these deep discussions are where they should be, in the hands of individuals, on the air, with you. Talk Sense Radio, The Meaning Connection, with your host, Mary Simaluka, and frequent contributor, Alexander Vesely. Friday afternoons at 3, 2 Central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Officer Radio. powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com, and hosted by editor-in-chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
All right, all, welcome back to Officer Radio on Officer.com. Today, sponsored by LE Gear. Visit them at legear.com. Don't forget, you can call me throughout the show, 866-404-6519. That's 866-404-6519. And for the rest of the show, we're joined by Officer Steve Forges, who, I will warn you up front, might make a few disgusting sounds or noises. He's been suffering from a cold, but agreed to come on the show anyway. How you feeling, Steve?
I could be better, but not bad.
Well, would better be like in a wetsuit at the bottom of a 45-degree lake searching for a body, or would better be a day off with a nice drink and your feet up in front of a fire?
Feet up with a drink.
Did you Although really I would, have to I think would, about it? I mean, come on.
I wouldn't mind, you know, being out there scuba diving, but...
not in that kind of cold, brother. You can keep that. Yeah. So listen, thanks for coming on the show today. I don't know if you've been listening earlier. I started out talking. I kind of ranted and raved a little bit about this Occupy Wall Street movement and what's going on. And before we talk about it, I want to go through these definitions. Protester, according to dictionary.com, an expression or declaration of objection, disapproval, or dissent, often in opposition to something a person is powerless to prevent or avoid. The example given is a protest against increased taxation. We don't really have the ability to do much about that. We can just let our elected representatives know we're upset. Hence, we protest. A demonstrator, also demonstrant, or demonstrant, however you say that correctly. English is obviously not my first language. A person who takes part in a public demonstration, as by marching or picketing. That doesn't even seem that out of control to me, folks. A rioter. A disturbance of the public peace by three or more persons acting together in a disrupting and tumultuous manner. You got to love dictionary.com because they use big words, so they force you to look them up. Disrupting and tumultuous manner in carrying out their private purposes. Now, folks, I submit to you, and I'm going to ask Mr. Forges for his opinion, that there are, by and large, that the Occupy movement probably falls under the definition of demonstrator. But when we see on the news where police officers are having to arrest dozens of people, I submit to you that that falls under the definition of being a riot. Steve, what do you say?
I agree to an extent. And if they're just standing beyond what they've been permitted, you know, if they went through the proper process, got the permits to be where they're wanting to protest or demonstrate, and they're staying beyond that, then they are violating the law, but they may not be necessarily doing any other criminal acts of, you know, defacing property, destroying, you know, property, you know, defecating, as you had mentioned before. You know, it's when they start getting into those more heinous crimes, you know, that I would say that it's more of a rioting.
Right. Okay. Well, I feel you. I understand what you're saying. You know, if they're hanging out past their 9 p.m. time limit on their permit or whatever, do we really take action against that? Okay, I understand that. But then where do we draw the line? This is a slippery slope. If the guy, people are setting up tents in you know, federal parks that say, you know, closed at dark, no trespassers permitted, then those people in those tents spending the night are breaking the law. Is that right. A disturbance of the public peace, according to the definition for rioting? Maybe not, because who are they really disturbing? And I get that. That's not a riot. But it is a violation of the law. Why aren't they just immediately arrested? The disturbance of the public peace, to me, comes the first time somebody dials 911 and says, send the police to A, B, or C. We have this issue. There's been a disturbance of the public peace. Three or more persons is easy to do when you're looking at these protests by hundreds or thousands of these occupiers. I'm confused as to why it's being tolerated, why the mayors and the chiefs of police and stuff aren't saying, hey, crowd control platoon, go clear that out. It's our job. Why are we holding back, do you think?
I don't understand it whatsoever either. You know, when we're having to go and get court orders to – end up getting the okay to go and remove these people when it's posted on signs at, you know, some of these various locations, you know, that you can't be there after a certain time, you know, otherwise you're trespassing. Well, right there, you're telling them, beyond this time, it's criminal trespass or however it is in your, you know, jurisdiction, you know, you can just go in and remove them without having to deal with getting court order. But it's a lot of it, I think, is public relations, you know, having that, trying to be feel good with everybody and pacify.
Oh, wait, we're everybody. A kinder, gentler country. I get that. Yeah, all right, yeah, I understand that. But here's the deal. You can't arrest somebody without putting your hands on them. You can't arrest somebody without putting handcuffs on them. You can't claim to be law enforcement and sit back on your hands and watch hundreds of people break the law and thumb their noses at you. To me, and I understand, and our producer made the comment, he thinks, you know, maybe the mayors, the chiefs of police and stuff, they're worried it could get worse if they try to do something. And I get that. Especially in some places where the protesters seem to be just looking for an excuse to become violent. And I'm not going to pick on Oakland, but I'm going to pick on Oakland. I mean, come on. Those people there, the occupiers, some of their quote-unquote representatives, came flat out said, hey, we're going to do this. There's nothing you can do to stop us. And if you send people in, we're going to fight. The police can't move us. They threw the gauntlet down. Okay. I understand. Maybe you wait for them to get tired. I understand that if it's going to be 6 degrees out tonight and these people want to camp out in the middle of a park wrapped up in newspapers underneath of a tarp because they're protesting, I think they're punishing themselves. I get all that. But the guy who squats on the hood of pick a car, it doesn't have to be a police car. The guy who squats on the hood of a car and takes a dump needs to have some sense knocked, needs to be arrested and processed accordingly. I'm sure he would resist because nobody likes being yanked off the hood of a car while they're in the middle of a nice relaxing dump. I mean, come on, what are we thinking? We're letting these people get away with stuff. You say heinous. When I think heinous, I think rape, robbery, and murder. We're letting these people get away with stuff that's publicly defacing. I mean, they're defacing public property. They're vandalizing property. They're breaking property, destroying property, littering, costing millions of dollars in cleanup fees. Why are we letting them do this and just turning the other cheek? Figuratively and literally.
Your guess is probably as good as mine. You know, it's the politicians, you know, trying to, you know, keep the peace, you know, and when, you know, it just us going there could end up sparking a riot, you know, or if we don't show up, it may be peaceful or it may get out of control. You know, when things... I think that we could also be doing things a little bit more tactful in some of these situations. If things are going okay, but it's looking like it may, you know, go spark south. Things up, right. Then, you know, maybe, you know, send in some undercovers, some plainclothes officers to go speak with the person that's supposed to be in charge. And, you know, so that you don't have a bunch of uniforms show up. Have them close by, of course, in case something sparks, but have the plainclothes go and talk to them, like, hey, this is what we're seeing. It's like it needs to be taken care of. Otherwise, you're going to get removed.
We'll you're a better man than I am, and I understand completely about the whole idea of sending some plainclothes folks in to talk to whoever's supposed to be in charge. What I don't think is happening is when this Occupy movement started in New York, that 3 months later, the same people in charge are still out there camping in the parks, I doubt it. It wouldn't be me, I tell you that. Right. I wouldn't spend that much time sleeping out in the cold unless Uncle Sam was forcing me to and we were in the middle of a war. But here, take this to the next step. Why do we have Occupy movements, and it's Occupy Wall Street? Why are they going on in Oakland and Chicago and Washington? I mean, okay, Washington, D.C., I kind of sort of get it because everybody knows politicians are in bed with the people with money. I got that. But why is this being done in all these other cities? This is not. It has become nothing more than a group of people who are disenfranchised or homeless, and they're looking for an excuse to stand around, bitch, moan, and complain that they don't have what they want. Or am I just being unsympathetic to the cause?
I agree with you. You know, and what, you know, if you're in California or Texas or wherever you're at, if you're in line with this Occupy stuff, then why not go to New York and participate in it? You know, doing it in California or Washington State or Nebraska or wherever you're doing it, what's the point? What is the purpose of doing it there when it is a Wall Street thing? You know, Wall Street isn't any place else but New York.
Exactly. And I really don't understand, well, much of any of it. You know, look, I get protesting. Like I said, I have stood in defense of the First Amendment. I have protected people who have said things that I would happily have liked to beat them into the ground for, but it's their right to say it. I don't have to agree with it. I don't understand this Occupy movement. I don't understand. I think maybe our show producer understands the politicians better than anybody else. They want to get reelected. It's bottom line. So, you know, some of those occupiers, I'm sure, are registered voters who are going to pay back the politicians who take care of them and let them stay wherever the heck they want to stay and keep the police at the end of a short leash. You're exactly right, Wayne. Politicians will be politicians. So anyway, I got my 2-minute warning for our first segment of the show, and I'm not going to waste any more time on this occupier crap. Lord knows. Listen, guys, if you're listening to the show, if you hear it on a podcast 3 weeks from now, it doesn't matter. If you're going to deal with a crowd of people, occupiers or otherwise, practice good officer survival tactics. They definitely aren't worth not going home for. Make sure you go home to your family at night. When we come back from the break, and Steve's going to be with us after he coughs his head off, we're going to come back from the break, and we're going to talk about people who didn't get to go home at the end of their shift. 18 officers that have fallen so far in 2012. 18 too many, obviously. We're going to name them, list them, where they were from, how they died, so on and so forth. And we're going to talk about the events that will occur in the future, police week and stuff, to honor them. So stick with us. We'll be back after this break. Steve, hang in there. Appreciate you being here. Talk to you all in just a few seconds.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these. Have you been laid off, fired, downsized, right-sized, or re-engineered out of a job? Are you unemployed or anticipate that possibility? Then tune in for Successfully Unemployed, hosted by Alan Sherwood, MBA, President of Sherwood Consulting Service. Successfully Unemployed will provide you a hope-filled and comprehensive approach to the job search process from an author who's experienced it all. Alan and his guests will cover all dimensions of a job search: physical tasks, mental attitude, emotional health, even one's spiritual perspective. All must be integrated in order for a person to be successfully unemployed so they can then be successfully employed. This show is designed to help you move forward from job loss to finding or creating more fulfilling work. For more on Alan Sherwood, MBA, and the show, check out his website, successfullyunemployed.com. Then join us for Successfully Unemployed with Alan Sherwood, MBA, Thursday nights at 8, 7 Central here on TuggyNet.com.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. Join thousands of other law enforcement professionals attending Police Week, May 12th through the 17th, 2012, in Washington, D.C. The new Officer World Expo at Police Week will offer training, conference sessions, and networking opportunities to better equip those who protect others. Visit OfficerWorldExpo.com, because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Welcome back to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by editor-in-chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
Good afternoon, listeners. Welcome back. Say it one more time. Give me a call if you want, 866-404-6519, 866-404-6519, or send me an email, frankborelli@officer.com. In this segment of the show, we'll talk about 18 officers who have died in line of duty this year. Steve, I'm going to ask you to stand by with me for a minute. I know I sent you this document that had 17 of them on them. We lost an officer just today. I'm going to read through these, the officers, the agencies, the day they died, and the cause of their death. Think about every one of these names. 18 officers. 18 too many. We've got to find a way to reduce our numbers. And I feel bad because I'm going to start out and I can't even say this name, this gentleman's name right. Sergeant Abimael Castro Brocklas, Puerto Rico Police Department, obviously Puerto Rico. First officer killed in line of duty this year, Sunday, January 1st. Cause of death was gunfire. Park Ranger Margaret Anderson, United States Department of the Interior, the National Park Service. Died Sunday, January 1st, 2012. Cause of death was gunfire. Agent Jared Frankham from the Ogden Police Department in Utah was shot and killed on Thursday, January 5th, 2012. Again, cause of death is gunfire. It's three. Deputy Sheriff William Coleman from Maricopa County Sheriff's Office in Arizona. Sunday, January 8th, 2012, cause of death was gunfire. It's four. Detective Andrew F. Faggio from the New Haven Police Department in Connecticut. Cause of death was an automobile accident, January 11th, 2012. We drive cars all the time. It is a huge risk for us, and unfortunately one we can't avoid. Correctional Officer Clarence Tariq Hammond III, Michigan Department of Corrections, Michigan, shot and killed January 14th, 2012. It's five, death by gunfire. Deputy Sheriff Randall L. Benoit, or I assume that's right, Benoit, B-E-N-O-I-T, with the Calcasieu Parish Sheriff's Office in Louisiana, January 18th, 2012, cause of death, automobile accident. Agent Francis Crespo Mandry, with the Puerto Rico Police Department, Puerto Rico, January 18th, 2012, cause of death, gunfire. Corporal Barbara Esther, the Arkansas Department of Corrections in Arkansas, Friday, January 20th, 2012, was stabbed to death. You know, it doesn't surprise me to see gunfire anymore. Seeing an officer stabbed to death is just a hard way to go. And I hate to see that. I hate to see any officer death, but that, for some reason, it's a visceral emotion response to stabbing. Correctional Officer Tracy Harden, Nevada Department of Corrections, Friday, January 20th, 2012, died of a heart attack. Officer Garrett Davis, Honolulu Police Department, Hawaii, January 21st, 2012, cause of death, automobile accident. Deputy Sheriff James I. Thacker, Pike County Sheriff's Department in Kentucky, Monday, January 23rd, cause of death, automobile accident. Senior Police Officer Gail Thomas of the Atlanta Police Department in Georgia, January 24th, cause of death, vehicular assault. That's not an automobile accident, folks. Vehicular assault. Somebody hit her with a motor vehicle. Police Officer William D. Bill Talbert, Montgomery County Police Department in Maryland, January 27th, 2012, died from a duty-related illness. I don't have any more information about it beyond that. Master Corporal Sandra E. Sandy Rogers, Aiken Department of Public Safety in South Carolina, January 28th, cause of death, gunfire. Police Officer Stephen Green, Mobile Police Department, Alabama, February 3rd, cause of death, stabbed. It's two. Reserve Deputy Don Williams, Dale County Sheriff's Office, Alabama, February 8th, automobile accident. That's yesterday. Today, unfortunately, we mourn the passing of Sergeant Almando Greer Travis, Detroit PD, died today. Cause of death is not yet known. He collapsed while on duty. Autopsy will show his cause of death. All right, Steve, we're looking at 18 total line of duty deaths so far, five automobile accidents, seven by gunfire, two stabbed, one vehicular assault. You got any thoughts to share about this?
It's a difficult thing to think about, you know, because it could happen to any of us. You know, our goal, of course, when we go on shift is to be returning safely home to our families, and to think that, you know, it could be us. You know, you when you go on shift, you never know what's going to happen. You know, and that's one thing that excites a lot of officers, not having the mundane 9-to-5 single day.
You know, it keeps you from being bored, but
right. But you can't get complacent, and that's one of the big things is trying not to become complacent when you're doing your job, and you know, cause that helps keep you alive. And some things you just can't, you know, avoid.
You know, I get that, and I know complacency kills, and every cop who's been through the academy should know and remember the 10 deadly errors, and I can't sit here and quote them. I can look them up in a minute so we can review them, but, I mean, we're looking at 15 officers killed in January. That's, on average, one every other day. In February, so far, three. And we're 9 days, so we're looking at every third day we're losing an officer so far in February. When you do the average for the whole year, it works out to essentially one every other day, which is going to put us, if that rate carries through the year, it's going to put us at a number higher than last year's. 177 died in line of duty in 2011. One every other day this year put us at 182, 183 deaths this year. The numbers keep going up. We've got to reverse this trend. So far this year, we'll go back for a second here. All right, 15 in January, 3 in February. Puerto Rico's lost 2. State of Michigan's lost 2. Alabama's lost 2. 14 men, 4 women. The average age was 45. I'm not going to tell you how old Steve is. I'll tell you I've passed 45. The average tour of duty, 13 years. Quite thankfully, at 45, I was already 27 years into my career, if you count my time as a military policeman. Wow, I'm old. Average tour of duty, 13 years and 4 months. FBI statistics for killed in line of duty used to show an average of about 17. We've got to be doing something different. We can't keep losing officers like this, you know. And complacency, I agree with you, Steve. Complacency is a killer. But in this case, seven officers killed by gunfire. I can't believe that's all complacency. We saw a lot of ambushes in 2011, people being shot. That's not complacency. Vehicular assault isn't complacency. 2 stabbed to death. Maybe they let somebody get too close. Maybe. Automobile accidents, we can't always avoid 5 of them. But if you look at just these top 3, automobile accidents, gunfire, and stabbings, that's 14 out of our 18 dead. If we could reduce those, we'd make a huge impact.
That we would, and there's a lot of things that, you know, we could end up doing to try and reduce that number, but it seems to be in the hands of the higher ups and what the requirements are for training, because I personally think that, you know, there needs to be a lot more ongoing training. You know, every state that I know of has in-service training, but you know, specifically in my state, every year that I've gone for in-service, it's all, you know, legal stuff. And
well, we're reactionary in our training. You know that. What gets given in the training, right, it's whatever was complained about the year before. Legal changes, anything, right, that causes an insurance claim, risk management, that's what it's absolutely. But you also know that we lose training time, and I know I sound like I'm fussing at you. I don't mean to. I just get upset about this. We lose training is one of the first things cut in any budget, and our economy is still hurting, so budgets are still hurting, so training gets shorted, and officer survival goes down as a direct result.
Right.
If we doubled the training in every place across the country, if we doubled the training mandates, do you think that the rate of survival would go up? I have to believe it would.
Oh, yeah. I agree completely.
All right. Before we go much further, because we got to – I know we're going to run out of time in this segment, and if I keep ranting and raving the way I have been, folks, listen for a second. And police, Steve, I know you've been down for Police Week. I hope you come down to D.C. again this year. The Candlelight Vigil is on Mother's Day, Sunday, May 13th at 8 p.m. at the Memorial in Washington, D.C. Every year, Officer.com live streams this. This year will be our fourth or fifth year in a row that we live stream it. If you can't get into the district, register. It's free. You can watch the Candlelight Vigil live stream on officer.com. If you can be in D.C. for it, please come to D.C. and watch it. And when I say come to D.C., because that's where I'll be, come to D.C. and attend this thing. I defy you not to shed a tear throughout the whole entire Candlelight Vigil. I have seen some of the rock hardest, coldest, strongest men I know cry like big babies during the Candlelight Vigil. 2 days later, the memorial service at the Capitol building on the West Front lawn of the U.S. Capitol building in D.C. It's Tuesday, May 15th at 11 a.m. They'll have a memorial service there. This year also, Officer.com is hosting Officer World along with our print publications, Law Enforcement Technology Magazine, Law Enforcement Product News, on May 13th and 14th at the Ronald Reagan Building and International Trade Center. 4 hours of training offered both mornings by the National Sheriff's Association. We're honored to have them partner with us to do this. The focus of all of the training is increasing officer survival rates. The topics taught will include field leadership, tactical emergency medical care, and ambush response. We have, in 2011, we saw the increase in ambushes, so we need to respond to those. We see 7 officers killed by gunfire this year alone. Tactical emergency medical care has got to be helpful in trying to save some of those lives. And the field leadership, we're doing more with less. There's the old thing. We've done so much with so little for so long, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. That's what our leaders are having to do. So I want to get all that out to you. We have 1 minute left before the break. I think our guest, Steve Ford, just has something he wants to say. He's commenting offline or off the radio about how I don't give him a break. I don't give him a break. I don't shut up. So, Steve, what's on your mind? Watch the time limits. What's on your mind?
With the Candlelight Vigil, I would say, like you, if you can get to D.C., get to D.C. for that Candlelight Vigil. My first year, I believe it was 3-4 years ago, and it is a very moving experience. You will have tears come to your eyes. Just walking into there and seeing the monument, and but then once the actual Candlelight Vigil starts up, you'll have tears coming to your eyes.
I have to cut you off because we're going to go to break. So who has to make who be quiet now? Yeah. Folks, we'll be back after this break.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. 152. The number of law enforcement fatalities in 2010. The numbers are too high. Any line of duty death is unacceptable. Join us in Washington, D.C. next year during National Police Week at the first ever Officer World Expo as we combine a unique training opportunity with the largest police memorial in the United States. Visit OfficerWorldExpo.com for details and to join the mailing list. Officer World Expo, because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Ready for resources, tools, and support to help you build a successful business and live an awesome life. It's the Women's Business Success Show with your host, founder of the Association of Women Entrepreneurs, Tara McHugh. Thursdays at 11 a.m. Central here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Each show will feature a special guest interview. Tara will bring you highly successful entrepreneurs sharing their stories of success. You'll hear about the challenges they faced along their journey together with the advice they have to help you achieve more. You'll also hear from various personal and business development experts sharing tips, solutions, and strategies that you can easily implement into your business and life for amazing results. For more on Tara and her show, check out her website, aofwe.com. Then join us for the Women's Business Success Show with your host, the founder of the Association of Women Entrepreneurs, Tara McHugh, Thursdays at 11 a.m. Central here on the Rockstar Radio Network. Welcome back to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by editor-in-chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
All right, folks. Welcome back to this last segment of our show brought to you today, courtesy of LE Gear. Visit them at legear.com. If you have a comment, feel free to call in 866-404-6519 or send me an email, Frank Borelli at officer.com. I just checked. Nobody has yet. And my guest today thinks I'm probably talking just to hear myself talk. Anyway, welcome back. We got Steve Forges with us. He is both a policeman and a fireman. And this last segment of the show, we're going to talk about Valentine's Day. It's 5 days away. It's not two-minute warning, folks. I mean, you have 5 days. But law enforcement faces some challenges. I know I worked an awful lot of Valentine's Days. How about you, sir?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You expect when you get into this, you know, line of work to be working pretty much all the holidays, and, you know, Valentine's, you know, goes right along with the rest of them. You're going to be working.
We don't think about much about, I mean, I always worried about Christmas. Am I going to work Christmas? You know, Thanksgiving, do I have to work Thanksgiving? And people make a big deal. But Valentine's Day seems so innocuous of a holiday that, I mean, it's not like it's a federal holiday. It's not like banks are closed and stuff. It's just another day, except at home to your significant other.
Right. I don't think much of it. You know, it's just another day, you know. And of course, my wife, you know, thinks a little bit different, but she knows, you know, if I got to work, I got to work, you know. Well, and we work around it, you know.
And that's what I want to talk about, because we obviously typically we work in three shifts, right. First, second, or third, you know, days, evenings, or midnights, and it, typically our spouses, if they work, our significant others, they work during the day. So if we're working during the day, they're working during the day, it's not a big deal. You still have Valentine's Day evening. That's not a big deal. But what do you do when your spouse is working days because they have an office job or whatever, and you're working the evening shift, so there's no Valentine's Day dinner. You know, you can't come home and bring her flowers because you're coming home at midnight. What do you do?
Do it on another day. Do it day before. Do it the day after. You know, as long as you still make them feel special, and, you know, they got to realize, you know, the situation. And, you know, I, with my wife and I, we're not real big on Valentine's. We hardly ever go out, you know, to dinner on Valentine's, just to avoid all the traffic and, you know, hour, 2 hour waits at the major restaurants. And we'd much rather, you know, do something at home and, you know, be together and avoid that headache.
Well, I know you and your wife, and provided you could get daycare or care for your child, yeah, I imagine you would rather have the evening home alone. I get that. But I tell you something I did. I'm going to brag a little bit and tell me what you think of the idea. I knew I wasn't going to be able to be home for dinner, and I knew it would completely surprise her if I did it. So I got up Valentine's Day morning and made a special breakfast for my significant other one Valentine's Day so that we could have Valentine's Day breakfast, since that was pretty much how the whole rest of the day was going to be shot, with her at work and then me at work. Something you would ever do? Like the idea, don't like the idea?
I've done that. You know, breakfast, or, you know, a special lunch, or even having, you know, something delivered, you know, at their work, just something to make them, you know, feel special on that day.
And again, you've said that twice. It's to make them feel special on that day. Now let's talk about midnight shifts for a second. This presents its own challenge. You come home at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. You're going to bed. They're going to work. You've got to go back to work at 11 p.m. You still have the evening, but typically you get on midnight shifts long enough and you sleep about 4 or 5 hours a day, and then you spend the rest of the time in this kind of semi-catatonic state of fatigue. Is that about right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So how well does dinner work out then? Or is that one of those times you really just don't drive and you stay home and hope you don't screw up dinner too bad?
That's it. Just stay home and, you know, do dinner at home.
All right. What do you have delivered? Any ideas? I mean, is it just flowers? Do you do the teddy bear thing? Do you do chocolates?
Usually just flowers. You know, if I go that far. You know,
she doesn't hear the show, dude.
She doesn't expect a whole lot from me. You know, I have my moments.
She's never disappointed. Okay, I understand. You know, I have a friend of mine I used to work with. I don't know if you've met him. Big shout out here to Captain Michael Rackey over at the Charles County Sheriff's Office. I worked for him or with him for years. And Mike gib slapped me in the back of the head one day before NCIS was ever even on. So nobody knew what a gib slap was except Mike, who's about 6'4 and 300 pounds and strong as an ox. And he slapped me in the back of the head and rang my chimes because I wasn't planning on bringing home roses. And he couldn't believe it. He's like, dude, they're so cheap. It's such an easy thing to do. Why would you not do this for your wife? Don't make me hit you again. Like, okay, never mind. I'll spend the money and get the dozen roses. And it became kind of a tradition with him. His wife expected him to work Valentine's Day, but expected him to bring home the roses. There's no traditions for you? There's nothing that Tabitha just expects?
No, she doesn't expect anything. You know, whatever I end up giving her, you know, is a surprise to her because she doesn't expect a whole lot. But, you know, some years she gets more than other years.
Well, and sometimes that depends on how financially well off we are or aren't. On our Facebook fan page, one of the comments is because I put up a blog about Valentine's Day, folks. So, you know, we got to remember our significant others and the fact that our job is hard on them. And one of the Facebook fans commented that police work simply doesn't pay enough to buy much in the way of gifts for Valentine's Day. I know that there were Valentine's Days in the past where I couldn't afford to get my wife anything. And so I sat down at the computer and I printed her out 5 coupons and then I cut them up and put them in an envelope with a card. But the coupons were good for, you know, a long hug that was not an attempt to get anything from her. A back massage, again, that wasn't an attempt to get anything from her. A nice dinner that I made at some point. A nice breakfast. I mean, they were things that I could do that were personal services to her, and it didn't cost me except the time to sit down and type them up on the computer. What do you think of the idea? What other ideas do you have, stuff you can do that you're not buying something?
It's hard to, you know, not buy things nowadays, you know, but, you know, you could, you know, do like what the kids a lot of times do for their parents, making little, you know, like gift certificates for certain things, like you're saying, you know, and, you know, so that they can redeem it at a, you know, later date, you know, because like we were saying, it's not always convenient for us to be doing things on Valentine's Day, you know, with our work schedules.
Now, I'm going to throw an idea out at you. What if we combined all of it together? What if you actually had a day off? How cool would that be? But you actually made your significant other spectacular breakfast, had something delivered, gave her these coupons, and took her out to a nice dinner. Would any of our significant others know what the heck was going on if that happened?
Oh, I know mine wouldn't.
Would your spouse not actually look at you and go, what did you do that you're trying to get me to forgive you for before I find out about it?
Exactly. That's exactly it.
So maybe that's not a good idea. That might be overkill?
That would probably be overkill.
All right. Well, I'm still going to say it's a great idea because I think how phenomenal would it be if 750,000 cops in this country just spoiled their significant others rotten for Valentine's Day?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You know, the florists would love me if I could make that happen.
Oh, yeah, they would.
Except apparently in Tyler, Texas, where roses are about $3 a dozen.
I wish it was that cheap here.
Yeah, they're about $20 a dozen where I'm at. I understand they're about $30 a dozen where you are.
Yeah.
Well,
if you're lucky.
You're computer literate. I know you can print out some coupons for your significant other.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what else do we have to talk about on the show? We got a couple 2 or 3 minutes left, a couple 3 or 4 minutes left. What did I not give you enough time to speak about any of the other topics in the show when I was ranting and raving?
I think you covered pretty much everything. Of course, you're putting me on the spot now.
Yes, I am, and it feels wonderful. Comment on the Occupier movement. Last final words about that?
Yeah, you know, the Occupier movement, that's such an issue that, you know, we're not going to understand it. I don't think we could research it for a year and still not understand it one bit as to why our politicians or, you know, administrators in charge are not allowing us to do our job, you know, without having to get court orders or them telling us. If they're breaking the law, they're breaking the law. Let us go and do our job without you having to tell us to go and do it.
You know, I'll tell you what, and now I am going to interrupt you, and you can yell at me for it later. We talked about complacency when cops were dying, and I said I'd look up the 10 deadly errors. And this applies as well, because we go to the occupier, you go deal with crowds, you got to deal with this. Let's go through them. I looked them up on Google. It's a beautiful thing. Number one, lack of concentration. Okay, number one, lack of concentration. Number two, tombstone courage. None of us is Walker, Texas Ranger, or Gibbs, NCIS agent, or John Wayne, the Duke in Greenbright. None of us is that guy. Tombstone courage will get you killed. Not enough rest. We talked earlier about fatigue. I got my two-minute warning. Not enough rest. Taking a bad position, that's one that very much applies to these responding to these occupier movement things. Not heeding the danger signs. We got to pay attention to body language, what gets said, how people behave, and all that other stuff. Failure to watch the hands. Hands will kill you. Watch the bad guy's hands or suspect's hands. Relaxing too soon. You shouldn't relax until you're leaving the scene, and even then you should make sure you're clear before you relax. Improper handcuffing. One of my favorites is an officer survival instructor. Improper hand. Properly handcuff them, then search them. Do not search them until after they're handcuffed. No search or bad search. We've seen it too many times. I don't care if somebody else says, I already searched them. They're your prisoner. You're taking possession of them. You search them thoroughly. Dirty or inoperative weapon. Completely inexcusable. Clean your gun once a month, whether you shoot it or not. We're down underneath a minute. Any comments on those, Steve? You should see me. I'm pointing at your picture on my screen. Any comment on those?
No, I agree completely. You know, one of the things I was told early on was, you know, keeping your equipment, you know, functional at all times. If you go and shoot, clean it right afterwards. You know, a dirty gun is a
faulty tool.
Right.
All right. Folks, we're down underneath 30 seconds. I'm going to cut Mr. Forges off there. Steve, thanks very much for being on the show today, especially since you have a cold. I'd like to thank Ellie Gear at elliegear.com. Go visit them. I'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show. We'll be back next Thursday. Until then, stay safe. Don't get added to the number of fallen this year. Stay safe. Go home at the end of your shift. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for being a part of Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by Editor-in-Chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Each week, Officer Radio is your source for the